Okay. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Daniel is going to read Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Brian Mitchell, Proverbs 13, 10. Kenny, Proverbs 18, 13. David Cutter, Ephesians 4, 15. And Matt, Ephesians 4, 16. Our Ephesians 4 is a great chapter talking about the church, and gives God's gift to the church, which is leaders. You understand, this is where he talks about he gave gifts to the church, pastor, teacher, evangelist, etc. Fivefold gift ministry of the church. So, first of all, the context is leadership, or we could say those that are going to minister to the people. So, the scriptures we're going to read immediately follow that. It deals with a problem, so it lays out the structure of the church, deals with a problem that they're having with false doctrine. Then we get to our verse, which shows two extremes that will always cause problems in the ministry. And I, of course, am applying this to pastoring, but this is true in any ministry, actually any relationship. We're talking as simple as ministering to your wife or your children or in any human relationship. So the two extremes. Number one, our scripture says, those who will not tell people the truth. And then the second one is those who tell the truth, but they can't do it in a loving way. And so those cause greater problems if you fail to do that. So our scripture gives the balance of wisdom and effective ministry on any level, and that is speaking the truth in love. So that's our lesson title, Speaking Truth in Love, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16.
But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Okay, so let's talk, first of all, about speaking the truth. So pastoring and all ministry in any way involves people, of course, and involves relationships. So, simple rule of life, where there are people, there will be conflict, period. I don't care, you name me any human relationship. If you have people, if you have more than one, you will have conflict. That's just the way it is. So you have conflict. If you are ministering, you will have conflict between other people. I woke up this morning and as part of my task, I'm helping someone. They're having a conflict between themselves, and our text talks about another conflict. That's false doctrine. There's someone who's causing a doctrinal conflict in the church. And then there is, of course, you can have people, there is conflict if you are a pastor or in some leadership position, you will have conflict of people who will be fighting you. And that's just a few. I could depress you and name a whole bunch of other ones, but I won't. I want you to have a good idea about ministry. So this is the way it is you'll have people, they may be doing or saying things. In this instance, it's someone who is saying false doctrine, obviously is doing something, he's spreading false doctrine. People do things that are incorrect, that are unhelpful, that are harmful, that are unacceptable. So that's one level. On the other hand, then you deal with people, they may be misunderstanding what you're doing, what you are saying. They may be misinterpreting. You have people that feel offended. So you have all these levels of conflict. So, very interesting. Our text connects maturity with communication. Okay, in verse 15, so let me read that.
But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ.
Okay, so he's giving advice, how do you deal with a problem? So it's interesting, he says, what has to happen is you have to grow up. There is the word is all kinds of growth, but we could say that the growth here is maturity. You have to express maturity. You have to have maturity. You have to be able to speak in a mature way. And of course, the opposite of that is being a child. It's a terrible thing when you have someone that they are a 40-year-old child. That makes it difficulty in relationships. So, but he's actually saying, the one who is going to deal with the conflict is the one who, first of all, has to have maturity, and that's going to be connected to how you communicate. So, immaturity then is demonstrated, first of all, by not being able to speak the truth. You have something that needs to be said, but someone won't say it. And a comment, I've heard this many times through the years, is, I just don't like drama. Then join a band. But this is, but that's a comment. And what they're saying, it really bugs me when they say, "Well, I want to talk to you. I just don't like drama." But our text says, if you're unwilling to speak the truth, that's childish. That is immaturity. And so the problem, it creates tension. Not saying the truth doesn't make the problem go away. You have people, marriage counseling, I ask them, are you a stuffer or an exploder? Right? There are some people, the moment something pops in their head, I've got it. Okay, there are other people, they say nothing, it doesn't go away. Just the fuse is longer, and one day it will. So it doesn't, there's tension. You got people, there's all this kind of, something I can walk into a group of people, I can walk into a church and it's like, whoa, the vibes are thick in here. Why? Because someone will not speak the truth. And that's immaturity in there. So you have awkwardness in there. There's a relationship and they're awkward and people are funny and they're looking away and doing all this. Like, why don't you just get it out? Right? There's emotion, there's tears, there's anger. Immaturity in speaking the truth. You get people sometimes that I have a simple issue that I want to discuss, but the person makes it in as I'm talking to them, they're belittling me, they're attacking me. So if I react to that, I can make it much worse. But so maturity is a key to communication. You get the problem you will have in immature communication, you get people, they punish you. I make a decision, I say something they don't like, so then they won't look at me. They won't shake my hand. It's like, great, we're in the seventh grade forever. This is wonderful. Or you get people that you, because of immaturity, they quit ministries, they quit giving, they quit the church altogether. All those is immaturity. So it can be immaturity on the person who needs to deal with it, immaturity on the person who needs to be dealt with. But I tell you, if you will not speak the truth, you're going to have bigger problems. The mistake of those who say, I don't like drama, is somehow, if I don't say anything, I'm making things better. You are not. You're actually making things worse. It'll just take longer to play out. It causes greater problems. I had a man tell me one time, I really like pastoring, I just hate drama. I said, that's not going to work. He said, no, actually not drama, he said confrontation. He had something, and this guy's causing all kinds of problems. I said, go talk to him. I like pastoring, meaning he likes preaching, but I hate confrontation. I said, then this is not going to work. You need to consider another job. And he's not pastoring today because his unwillingness, exactly as I predicted, caused an explosion, destroyed the whole church, and then he said, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. is not pastoring, not in our fellowship. That's tragic. So, to not speak the truth is moral cowardice. I don't cause a drama. You're a coward. It's all about you. Never mind what they're doing. He's writing here. There's someone hurting the church. If you can't speak the truth, you're a coward. That's not fair on other people. And then, of course, in the highest, someone doesn't have to die in order to resolve a problem. Right? That's some people's answer and everything is like, you know, you're doing something that bugs me. Okay, they're not bugging me anymore. You could do that, but that's not very workable. So, in other words, if you won't tell somebody the truth, you give them no chance to change. And that's, again, immaturity assumes that the reason why they're doing this is because they've sat down at home going, how can I make your life miserable? But many times they are completely clueless. They have no idea what they're doing is offensive. So therefore, if you don't tell them, they have no chance of ever changing, and that's not fair. So our text, biblical manhood in ministry. To be a man, to be a man of God, you have to speak the truth. That's just the way it is. Listen, so speaking the truth sometimes is extremely uncomfortable. I have conversations that are just no fun. I wake up in the morning knowing I gotta have this conversation. It's like, great. Would I rather have a root canal without Novocaine or have this conversation? I'm thinking the root canal sounded pretty good. Whatever, it just has to be. I know this is going to be ugly. I know they're going to accuse me of being the Antichrist. I know that there's going to be anger, tears, emotion. They're going to punish me at whatever. It just has to be done. That's all there is to it. So I don't care if doing it makes you, your knees knock, makes your mouth dry, makes you feel awkward and nervous. So be it. It just has to be done. Let me give you some little tips for those of you that you lean on the first continuum, and that is that you don't like confrontation. So if you have to do something, do it now. And please work in here, timing, you know, probably happy birthday. And by the way, you're a jerk. That's not okay, you get, there's wisdom, but something you've been putting off for years, just do it. Do it now. That would be, don't wait until you get in the ministry to learn how to confront. That is really going to suck if you wait until now you're a pastor. Now people's lives are in your hands. I've never gotten good at. I've never worked out how to have difficult conversations. That is going to suck. Much better to learn it now. You make mistakes. You have a pastor who can help you. Look, when you said you fat, ugly moron, maybe that wasn't the best. You know, how about let's do this better. Get some tips before you, but you got to do it now. Second thing, get advice and get wisdom in doing it. Above all else, ask God, who gives to all men wisdom. If you ask, God help me. If you recognize I don't like confrontation, I'm not good at difficult conversations, then ask the God of wisdom to give you the wisdom to do that. God, give me the courage. Give me the wisdom. I do it badly. I cause unnecessary offense. I want to get good at it without killing people. Please help me. Get advice. Read books. Listen, we live in a world, I don't care what you want to do. I'm amazed at some of you tell me some of the things you do is like, how did you know how to? Yeah, I Googled it. You can find information on anything. Right? I'm betting that if you Google how to have a difficult conversation, probably there's a wealth of information. You can get Christian books, whatever it is. You can get information, and above all else, get advice. My pastor saved me. Pastor Mitchell saved my bacon, saved my ministry, because I got advice in how do I. That was what I did. I woke up this morning, somebody sent me a letter. I'm mad about this, and they sent me the letter, and it's like, but you're accusing them of injustice and violation. Wouldn't it be better if and I actually know why the decision was made. Wouldn't it be better if you said, you know, help me to understand. I may not be seeing this correctly, instead of, you're the Antichrist. That's it can work better. So you can get advice. Third simple little tip, if you're not good at having difficult conversations, practice. I'll let you in on a little tip about Pastor Greg, and that is that I practice difficult conversations. Okay, before I ever get into a conversation that is likely to be explosive or difficult, I have rehearsed it in my head. I have written some things down so I don't get lost, and I probably have practiced it. People going down the freeway thought that I was talking on the phone. Nope, I was practicing. I'm going through, because what I don't want is, number one, I don't want to stumble in my words. I want to get, that didn't sound right. Okay, I could say that better. You can do that. Practice if it's difficult for you. And one of the things I do, final tip, is I try and determine probable responses. That's one of the keys. I got a problem. Okay, so if I'm going to say this, I try to think through. And of course, people are surprised sometimes. I go, whoa, didn't see that one coming. But many times I can predict how they're going to object to what I have to say. So I prepare for that. Okay, they're likely to say, what will my response be if they say this, this, or this? So that's wisdom. So therefore, when I get into that and they say that, I'm not caught off guard. I'm not flustered. And that helps. Recently, I had to be involved in a conflict, and the man in his personality, I was helping him. And in his personality, he was getting very emotional and angry. And I was able to calm him down, bring the other person to help. And this man remarked, he's like, it's incredible you were able to say it without getting upset. But I said, that's long practice. And I've had these conversations. It doesn't help me. If I turn red and call you names, it's very unlikely to have a good outcome. Okay, speaking the truth. Second thought, truth with love. Now, some of you, everything that I said, you got no problem. I like telling the truth. You are dumb and ugly. I just had to tell the truth. Right? You take pride in that. It's automatic to tell the truth. You enjoy telling the truth. And as a matter of fact, some of you think it's your duty to tell the whole world the truth. Every time you meet a person, can I tell you something? You're going to anyway, but that's not helpful. Okay. But the way that you do it causes offense. Okay, so our text says, speak the truth. That's number one. But if the way that you say it causes offense or causes the problem to be bigger, little clue, look back, watch your back trail in life. If you watch the back trail on this job, that band, this ministry, that church, okay, every time I get in a relationship, someone's upset. And you were there every time. We're narrowing the suspect list, right? So it's likely that the way that you are saying things, it's not working well. I'm telling you, in marriage, this is crucial. How you approach this. I just told her the truth. But if you did it in a way that was unwise. Okay. So, the greatest tip that I could give you to speaking wisely, what is in your heart is the greatest determining factor. I could tell you, look, here's tips, and, you know, I may not be that's great. What is in your heart is actually the biggest determining factor. Insecurity. Insecurity causes us to hear and to see everything as a worth issue, as a personal attack. Okay, I am the pastor of this church. My title, I think, on the screen today will say senior pastor. Yeah, I'm announced at different places, the leader of the fellowship. I get people, they speak to me very rudely. So I could, do you know who I am? Good tip. If you ever have to ask people, that's not a good, that's not a good sign. So if you have personal insecurity, you're going to be very bad at communication. Because you can never get to the point and bring healing without it making it personal. Oh. So what you're saying is, I'm stupid. It's actually your wife said you need to take out the trash because it stinks. But that's insecurity. We're hearing this. We're constantly on the lookout for offense. We make everything about our worth. That's going to cause you problems. We've talked about this. You must deal with insecurity. Second thing, pride. Here's a problem with the proud resent instruction. Okay, proud people don't like anyone telling them anything, but proud people are offended and enraged when people don't receive what they have to say. Again, I'm the pastor of the church, leader of the fellowship, and I get people, they're not receiving what I have to say. And I get that. So if I'm going to be offended, like, how dare you? It's just not going to go well. Proverbs 13:10.
By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom.
Okay, one translation says, pride leads to conflict. Or I could say pride increases conflict. Pride will make sure you never fix conflict. Any version thereof. So, insecurity and pride are the biggest hindrances to communicating effectively. Let me tell you some communication errors. Number one, if you approach the other person as an enemy. Some people, they have a problem, but they think how I solve this problem is I destroy their arguments. Right? I can pile on fact after fact and instance, and I go, yeah. At the end, because we feel if I destroy them, belittle them to where they finally whimpering and tears slink away, then I won. If you approach people as the enemy, that's not going to work. If you speak with unnecessary or unhelpful emotions, anger is not a helpful emotion in trying to resolve conflict. Okay, you have an issue to resolve. Husbands and wives, this is often the great difficulty. Husbands and wives often want the same thing. But because one or both of them speak with anger, they hurt both of them. Anger is not helpful. And let me tell you, any of these mistakes that I'm telling you, this is not something I read about. I know a guy who did this. And don't ask me who that is, okay? In early days, I was not good at this. I would have been going, that doesn't work well. I don't think I ever resolved a conflict well when I was mad. And as I say, I get people, they are deliberately incendiary and belittling and attacking. So everything within me is, I'm not wanting to sing Jesus loves me, this I know. I want to sort this out. But it doesn't work. Anger doesn't help. Accusing before finding out the facts. Proverbs 18:13.
He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him.
Okay, the Message translation says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. So, you hear someone, I hear everything, right? The pastors hear everything eventually. So, it might not exactly be accurate. So, if you're approaching it as you did instead of is it true, those are two different, right? Is it true? Well, no, Pastor, actually, I was out of town at that time, so I couldn't. You know. Oh, okay, all right, no problem then. That's easily resolved. But if I begin by you before I've even found out their side, that doesn't work. So that's a simple tip. Reacting with pride and offense. This is the greatest difficulty in marriage, isn't it? Is your wife is telling you something that's true, but she's pulling a face or using a voice, they go, is that how my face goes? Does my face go like this? Any of you married people ever play that game? Is that how my voice goes? Single guys go, I don't get it. You will. So, and married people, often they get completely diverted. Do you know what? In actual fact, the point is not how the voice or the face is. The only point is it true? So, someone can say something in an offensive way, but there may be truth there. So if I reject it because you didn't say it exactly correctly, I am foolish because I'm not going to be able to resolve it. Final mistake is failing to hear or understand heart motivations. If you're getting an unhealthy reaction from someone, you should be asking yourself, why? Why are they reacting like this? Sometimes I talk with people and the reaction that I'm getting is far out of line with what we're discussing. What we're discussing is very small, but I'm getting hot anger. I'm getting coldness. I'm getting tears. It's like, okay, that's a signal. Why am I getting this? And I need to understand heart motivation. For some people, it's past wounds. There's difficulty with when you're trying to help someone else who deals with rejection. No matter what you say, as simple as it is, it's perceived. Remember what I said? You see and you hear everything as a worth issue, as an attack. It's not an attack. This is facts. You should bring the microphone when we go on outreach so people can hear. You hate me. You think I'm stupid. This is just a microphone issue. It's not a worth issue. Okay? So, but if I'm getting that, I have to take that into account. Reject fear. Yeah, let me tell you something. Fear distorts. When people are afraid, sometimes if I'm getting extreme emotion, if I can work out, what are you afraid of? I was getting this, and I was in a conversation, and the reaction that I'm getting is so far out of line with, I mean, this person was actually ticking me off. And I started to say, look, if you're going to act like this and talk like that, but then I thought, okay, and finally I said, please help me to understand, what are you afraid of? When you're clearly something, you're afraid of something, what is it? They said, because you said this, how will I ever get over that? And I said, okay, I get it. And it changed the tone. I said, I get it. So you think because I said that was totally unacceptable, you think you're going to be 95 years old and I'm still going to be reminding you of that. Yes, you're never going to get over it. Your life and ministry is over because you made a mistake. Yes. And I said, okay, let me help. All right, I get it now. And that helped me because the reaction was irritating and out of line, so I had to stop the conversation. You got to help me to understand this. Once I understood that, then I was able to say, look, okay, then probably this is your background. Maybe you're not used to that. I explained how I was raised. When I was raised, my dad corrected me. I got punished. I got spanked. I got grounded. And a few minutes later, my dad would give me a hug and tell me he loved me. Okay, that's an issue. We're going to fix an issue. It's not going to change the whole relationship. So I said, I assure you, this is something I just need resolved. If we can resolve this, I will never bring it up again. Okay, so, but I had to understand heart motivation. That was something on the inside. If I didn't, I'd just say, you know what? You're a jerk. I write you off. But it was actually fear talking. It wasn't helpful, but it was fear nonetheless. Okay, so our text says we have to speak the truth. That was point number one. Some of you are good at that. But you have to speak the truth in love. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. So that means then, Speaking the truth in love is motivation. Our motivation must be love. So you have, is the point, this person bugs me, so I'm going to destroy them, or is it, I want what's best for you. I want what's best for the church. I want what's best for the ministry. That is why I am telling you, I know you're not happy about this, this is uncomfortable, but I want what's best for you. This is love talking, that's motivation. Speech. Our speech must be with love. And that doesn't mean that there's never any heat or difficult conversations in what you say, but the simple rule of thumb, I get any of the guys who have ever been on staff can appreciate this, is sometimes I speak, and I speak heatedly because what we do sometimes is important. I'm trying to prepare for the future. But it, on the other hand, it is not necessary for me to be personally demeaning. Right? I don't have to attack your worth as a human being to tell you what you did was wrong and foolish. There is a difference. And sometimes I've not always made that clear and had to apologize or to change that. So, third point of love is sometimes love means we could back down. Again, if you don't deal with the pride and the insecurity in trying to have some of the difficult conversations I'm having, I get people they're firing back at me, and I'm realizing this is not helpful. We're actually making this work. I wanted to resolve a simple issue, and now we're at DEFCON 5. This is not working well. So sometimes I can back down. It's not worth it. Simple rule of life, sometimes not worth it. Now, I'm not talking about the moral cowardice of it's not worth it, so I will never speak. But I don't have to resolve everything perfectly. If you have mental OCD, you're going to struggle in human relationships because resolving conflict is messy sometimes. There are people who's like, I had a list of 29 things and we will not finish until we resolve all 29. Pastor Mitchell taught me wisely, and I try to pass it on. You have to have a simple rule in life, and that is called as good as it gets. In this conversation, I'm not talking where you ignore it forever, but sometimes I'm working through it. Okay, so I didn't resolve that one happily, and this one they kind of fire back, but I got my main point across. So, okay, mission accomplished for this conversation, and leave it. I've been with other guys, other pastors, and they're involved in it, but we didn't fix that. It's okay. As good as it gets today. We can tackle this another day. Because I was able to make the major point, and I pray God will deal with them. He'll work it out over time. Or something else will come up, and I can now tackle items 17 through 29. But today wasn't the day. You have to recognize that. If it's OCD, you don't understand what that means? Everything has to be straight and neat in line. People are very unmessy. Are unneat, messy they are. Unneat, is that a word? Yeah, you get the idea. So they don't come. If you like everything neat, don't have children. I mean, that's just the way it is. Okay, because children are not, they're not neat, are they? They're messy. Life is messy. Relationships are messy. So it's cowardice if you won't deal with anything. But on the other hand, you don't have to deal with everything. So sometimes I'm seeing how it's going. Okay, I can back down, I can back out of this to not cause all-out war. So there are people that they come and they express that what I did or I said offended them. I can say sorry. I haven't lost anything by that. Some people think that your worth as a human being went down if you apologize. Okay, sometimes that opens the person's heart. Look, I didn't mean it that way. I think that you're misunderstanding it, but listen, if you took it that way, I am sorry because that was not at all my intention. I can apologize because I'm hoping to open the door. We can have further conversations that can be helpful. helpful. I want you to be healed. I don't want to destroy you. I would rather you be healed. And so you have to do that. Final thought, maturity and growth. Speaking the truth in love now is linked to maturity, our text said, but speaking the truth in love that you may grow up in all things. So, this is actually the maturity is twofold. Number one, we already said, it requires maturity. To do it, speaking the truth, to do it well, speaking the truth in love, you're going to need some maturity. That's true. But this is also, it's cause and effect in maturity. The effect is maturity or growth. It brings growth. It brings growth in you. Can I tell you, you will never grow as a man until you learn to have difficult conversations and have them well. So you're stunted in life because you've never gotten beyond that point. I got a problem, I won't speak up. Then come see me in 15 years and you'll still be in the same place. Because you can't. Growth, maturity is connected to speaking the truth in love. But then further beyond that is speaking the truth in love brings growth. Verse 16. Matt had that.
From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Okay, so... So as I already said, you will never grow until you learn to have a difficult conversation with love. Secondly, our text says, joined and knit together. That's your body. Your body functioning correctly. Things function well when truth is spoken in love. It just works better. Human relationships. Had dinner the other night at Don and Helen Jackson. He was a consultant in the business industry, and part of what he did was to meet with people and to get them to communicate. There's a problem. Let's talk about it. Let's work out how do we resolve conflicts, and you know, that's kind of what a pastor does. But that's what you need to be able to do. Things work much better. I can tell you, I've been married when I did not communicate well. Things were not happy. Mama was not happy. Greggy was not happy. There wasn't many people happy. I don't know about the cat. I didn't have one. But, there weren't many happy people in that house. When I learned, my marriage changed when I learned to speak differently. When I learned how to communicate differently. That is what has to happen. Final thought, there is growth. There's growth relationally, there's growth in effectiveness, there's growth numerically. Some people, this is the problem in their life. Pastors, their church is small and it probably is going to stay small because they don't do this well. They attack, they blow things up, they avoid. It just, so there's a natural preventative element in there. So here's what's necessary, speaking the truth in love. Okay. Let's open for questions. If you know somebody, this might apply to
someone who isn't me. No. Oftentimes, I mean, you mentioned how anger is very unhelpful in this kind of conversation, difficult conversations. Oftentimes, I find that I'm in a situation where there's no, you know, shelving this for a later date. It's happening, whether I like it or not.
Yep.
Now's the time, and emotions are getting hot from me or from the person I'm talking to, you know, and what's your
so several strategy. Things? Yeah, my strategy, several things. So let's take into account. So there are times when anger is appropriate. Mm-hmm. I have people they're destructive to the church, and they're like, okay, this is appropriate to be angry. I will never. There are people I heatedly tell them I will never put up with this again. But that's appropriate because it's not personal. It is that. It has to do with the damage to other people. Okay, that's not wrong. So, practice So of course we can be caught off guard, but often being caught off guard, we're talking about issues that are, we knew they were pre-existent though. It's rare that just out of the blue, like I woke up this way, I had no idea there was a problem. Like, whoa. And so, sure, sometimes I'm surprised. But so that's why I practice. If I know there's going to be a problem with somebody one day, I am thinking through. I am maybe even verbally practicing my conversation with them so that I'm not caught off guard. And they come there, I can then rationally go through. On the other hand, a simple strategy, there are people, they're going on, they're attacking me, and I go, peace, wait, whoa. And I tell, we don't have to fight. I'm not wanting to fight with you. I'm wanting to resolve this. Sometimes I have changed the temperature of the conversation by doing that. Look, whoa. This is not an attack. Right. You don't have to attack me. I don't have to attack you. So take a breath now. Okay? So sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't as well. Sometimes it's, it's extreme anger. Look, this is not helpful. I don't think this conversation is going to be helpful today. How about let's take a break, sleep on it. We can talk tomorrow or another day when emotions are not so high. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just not helpful. We're going, there's no point in having war. Right? So I get people that, I deal with, and it's all out war, all out attack, and I say, this conversation is finished. We're not getting anywhere, so I'm not willing to continue this conversation. And I'll try again at a later point. So those are just some of the tips. But if I deal with what's in my heart, if I practice a little bit so that I'm not saying it offensively, then generally I'm able to mitigate some of the anger. Yeah, not always. Vince?
What if you've noticed that you have been saying something that needs to be said, but you've been saying it wrong, and then you realize later, okay, I needed to say that, but I said it wrong. How do I go back and fix that?
An apology, to acknowledge that. So that's always a helpful thing, to the way I said that. Was incorrect. My tone, I was unnecessarily offensive, and I apologize for that. I do want to work this out, but...
And I have another question that was exactly what you just said.
Okay.
There are certain people that I have conflict with every once in a while where any apology of any kind whatsoever is immediately used to take advantage of the situation and twist it to whatever they want.
Of course, yeah. So, and that's always the possibility, but I don't know... I'm apologizing because I said something that was inoffensive. How they received the apology, that's their problem, right? That's for me. I don't want to go through life like I am, like I'm infallible, right? There's only God and then there's the Pope, and they're the only ones that are infallible. The rest of us are not, right? So that's for me, of course. Then you're talking about more difficult, those are your trickier people that no matter what you say, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's a deeper conversation I'm having here. So, but at the end of the day, the conversation is not based on, I got a great reaction, I said sorry, and they went, and the music played, and we ran into each other's arms in slow motion. That's not actually the point. I got to protect my heart.
Yep. When approaching a situation, how do you discern truth in a situation when it seems like people are saying things out of emotion? When you don't know.
Yeah, so that, which is why I, pray for wisdom more than anything else. Because I hear radically different stories. It's literally like Solomon. That's part of wisdom. Part of wisdom is trying to tell the truth between totally different stories in that way. So, but you build up a template, right? I mean, that's... Maybe we'll do a whole lesson on that at some point. But the bottom line is, if you'll get advice, people fall into templates. I have pastored most of you all over the world. People are very similar, different skin colors, whatever, but they're very similar. They have often very similar reactions in that way. So I, as I tell young pastors, if you'll keep in contact with me, you'll build up a template file. I've seen this before. This is the, no, we were in bed together, but we never touched. But I've seen this before. I've heard this one. Oh, you laugh, but this is a literal story. I've heard many versions like that. So, you know, again, when I get people who, this person says, one simple question is why? Why would they say that? And I ask people that. This person says, you blah, 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 blah. Absolutely not. I never did that. Okay, so if your version is true, why would they say it? What's the motivation? What do they get out of it? And, you know, and sometimes I am surprised. Well, actually, Pastor, they were offended by my grandmother and they swore eternal death on every member of the family. Okay, I get that. There may be mitigating circumstances. So, but sometimes it's like, it doesn't make sense. This person has no axe to grind. They're not, you know, past history. You get people, I have to factor in past history. I had one time, I had a couple in church. To me, the man, you understand, people that are unclean, when they're in pornography, they're unclean in different ways, you can feel it. So I felt it off this husband. So this couple came to me and told me a story. They got together for Christmas with another couple in the church that I had never had one problem. The wife was modest. I never got any signals of lust off her in any way, shape, or form. And this man said, while we were having dinner, her foot rubbed my leg during dinner. She was trying to come on to me. Okay, so I asked the wife, she's like, she about had a heart attack when I asked her. But now, past history, this guy, I already had a feeling that he was unclean. This lady, I've never heard it, ever, never felt it, ever. So the balance of probability, she's right, he's wrong. That's common sense, right? You get that? So in that way, I'm just telling you just a couple of the things. But overall, there are things I have no way. I wasn't there. I have no supporting facts, but the Spirit of God in me, I feel it. Okay? You are wrong. And so I get that to where in practice over time, God helping me, if my heart is open and I'm wanting, you get good at it. To where I can make a choice, Pastor, you're being unfair. I'm comfortable with this choice. I'm very comfortable with this. So you're going to answer to God. I'm okay with that. Okay? So that's just the way it is. Last night, Pastor Jesse got rid of a man that we've been discussing. We feel he's unclean and perhaps a child molester. And Pastor Jesse spoke to him and told him to go away, and the man called me, offended. How dare you? And I think Pastor Jesse's being so over the top. He's like so concerned with women and children and their safety. That's unfair. That's terrible. And God's not going to be happy. I'm okay with that. Okay, so that's an extreme. But anyway, yep.
In reacting to a conflict, if things kind of get bad, how do you determine what's the goal, like diffusing them or holding your tongue or et cetera?
Well, I can't. That would depend on the day, the circumstance, the need, the person. There's too many variables that I can't give you. But again, this is not just science. It's the Spirit of God. If my heart is right, God will help me in there. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what's best, but in this I feel. It's very important that you have a connection. That's why I go to prayer every day, because I need God in so many ways. And sometimes I just feel. I have gone in, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And in the conference, I just feel that I should do different than what I thought, because God is helping me. So it's too many variables. There's no way I could give you an answer. But the main thing is, what is best for this relationship? If it's only a personal issue, what is best for this ministry? What's best for the church? So that determines in all of those. I'm trying to juggle in that. What I don't want is, I don't want to make it what's best for Greg. Because if I make it what's best for Greg, you know what? You spoke to me in an insulting way. Therefore, you're the Antichrist. That's the general rule of thumb. I can't tell you, every way I speak, but I know that this conversation must not just be about me. There has to be a bigger picture. If I have the bigger picture in mind, if I speak the truth in love, I want what's best for you. So that means I can allow things that weren't necessarily best for me. That's sacrificial love. That's what Jesus did, right? He suffered so that we could be saved. That's true. That's part of you. You want to be a husband? You want to be a man? Men are they love that verse in the Bible talking about they're in charge. But part of that means that you are going to have sacrificial love. You're the one who's going to lose in order to fix the relationship. And that's valid. Cowardice is I lose by never speaking up. But yeah, so there's a lot of things. We need God, gentlemen. That's the bottom line. Nate?
Pastor, I spoke with you when we were in Denver about a difficult situation, and I was just curious if you've ever experienced the first time I had to deal with this, it was like my brain just went scrambled eggs. Like I couldn't comprehend. It was like, I don't know what it was, but I mean, is there a way to prepare for someone like that?
Well, if you have an indication what you're describing, the Bible says, first of all, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's number one. Number two, the works of the flesh are these, and one of those is witchcraft. So witchcraft is manipulation. So you put those two together, what that means is that there is a supernatural element. When someone's trying to manipulate you, it becomes supernatural. Someone who does that repeatedly again and again and again and again, that is often the effect, that when you're talking to them, your brain clouds over. You can't even think straight. I have dealt with people that they had that so strong that they would fire off psycho accusations, and I couldn't even talk until they left the room. And then when they left the room, my brain would come clear. So that's rare, fortunately. That's very rare. So to prepare for it, you know, if I suspect that a person operates in that way, I pray up, you know, because I can be caught by surprise. I had no idea they were like that. But a person like that doesn't just suddenly manifest in one situation. You get they are manipulative in relationships. You get that. They punish you. I didn't like something you said, so I don't shake your hand when I come in the door. Okay, this is a manipulative person, right? The cold silence, mad-dogging you in church. This is a manipulative person. That person is very likely to have an element of witchcraft in them, which is not riding a broom, sacrificing cats. It is, I'm going to try to bend your will. I'm going to make you give me my way by making you uncomfortable. So if you get any indicator of that, prepare in advance by prayer. Then the second thing is that you must write things down. In a normal situation, something is small, I don't need notes. I come, hey, look, there's a problem, don't do this. Okay, because they're not a manipulative person. But if there's someone and I suspect that they are, I absolutely will have notes. Because when my brain goes cloudy, I'll come back and go, no, in fact, you said. That's then more helpful. I don't do that for every person. I do that for the people that this is going to be explosive or manipulative in some way. You prepare for it. And then ultimately, apart from that, then there are something that in super extreme cases, then you're wise to have somebody else with you. Okay? And now you're talking to a pioneer church. It's difficult to arrange all of those factors at the same time, but as far as having someone. So more praying up, having notes is something that will help you better. That's something. In extreme cases, Tom Payne and I, we are battle buddies because we have fought very difficult situations. We tag team. And that's what you do. You have someone, if they're really good at this and they've spent a lifetime, then your brain is temporarily clouded. I give my thing, they're firing back, okay, and then Tom jumps in and it's like WWF. Get the chair, Tom, smack it over the back. You know? So, but those are very extreme cases.
So you talked about preparing for a confrontation or discussion, trying to anticipate what the other person's going to say and have various different, you know, reactions to that. And I tried to do that, but invariably the conversation goes a different way, something I totally didn't expect. How can you get better at anticipating what the other person's going to say?
Well, yeah.
More prepared for that. Because, like you said, then my mind, like he was saying, my mind blank, fuzzy. Then later I was like, oh, I should have said this, or,
Yeah, yeah. So that's notes are helpful in that way. To get your brain in order. You can't prepare for everything. I've been pastoring 36 years and I still get surprised. So, because human beings are, interesting. So, anyway, that's just the way it is. But on the other hand, if you're talking about a personal relationship, if you spend long enough with a person, you get an idea where the conversation goes. It's not unknown. While there can be something out of the blue that catches you off guard, if you've been listening over time, you get an idea, this is what they do, this is what they say, and you can therefore predict it in most cases. So it's just, but again, then you add in the things that can surprise you. That's why you need God. God knows everything. That's my number one prayer every single day. God, you have to give me wisdom. Because God knows everything, and if he knows everything, he surely can alert me or give me the wisdom to deal with tricky situations that caught me off guard. He's smarter than I am, so that's why I need him. Good. Very good.
Working with people, and I apply this to pastoring, but also in my job, I feel like sometimes I get frustrated with them doing or not doing what they should or what's right. Looking back at my conversations, that comes out in the way I talk to them.
Sure.
So is that what you're talking about? Like, this is not about my work. It's not about my ability to change it. Like, how do I work on that?
Well, how does that work so far? When you come across like it's just something that bugs you, do they receive it well, or does it cause you greater conflict? So that's why I say check your back trail. That's always wise. You're gonna be a good cowboy, check your back trail, and so you'll learn. So part of that is I could have said that better. Part of that is just not worth it. I mean, there's just things, there's just not worth it. And I'm not talking about moral cowardice. It doesn't, the universe will not stop spinning if that person doesn't do it the way I want them to. There is a difference. There are things have to be sorted out because you're causing chaos on the job, you're causing chaos in the family, you're causing chaos in the church and ministry. I can't avoid that. I would be a coward if I don't. On the other hand, there are people that they just don't do things the way I would. So be it. It's okay. It's not, I can live. I can live with it. So. I don't know. A lot of these things, you just need God. That's all I know. That's the answer. Doesn't matter what you ask me today, you need God. Okay? Go ahead. I'm willing to answer any question. Guess what you need? Okay. Thanks, guys.